Sometimes someone like me, I could run out for a few minutes and run around and, you know, enjoy the atmosphere and look at the plants and introduce myself. So you breathe the same atmosphere. Or do you have to wear something? Something that, if you were looking at us, you couldn't see anything. You'd say, well, they're not wearing anything protective, but it's like a field of energy around us that we don't actually have to breathe. It's hard to describe, but it's like an energy around us. It's mechanical? Yes, it's something other than what we do. It's like a device. A force field or something? Well, it's not that simple. It's more complicated, because it provides us with the atmosphere we need to have, our air, it provides us with the nutrients and all that we would need to take in, it provides us with the energies we might need to support our lives, and it also provides us with a connection to our home, our ship, all the people on our ship. It really is providing us with our familiar environment. If you were to look at us, you would think there wasn't anything there, but for us, looking out, sometimes we can see it. It's kind of like looking through water, which would kind of change what you see, but you can definitely tell you're looking through something. At least I could tell. Maybe it's different with the adults. So when you were going to go out, then you would go through a room, or you would touch something, or you would. They would take something, it's about the size. Like a postage stamp, almost. About. A little smaller than one of those, and you just wear it right here points to waist. Oh. It's the barrier that your people are giving us to put around our ships. It's the same barrier. Yes. I don't know what it will create for you. But for us it essentially creates home. It's very small and doesn't weigh anything that I've been able to tell. You can hold it in your hand and you can't really. You can tell something is in your hand, but it doesn't weigh anything. I suppose if you put a stamp in your hand, it would be like that, it wouldn't weigh anything, but you could tell it was there. That's exciting. So you're not at the stage where you've learned languages yet? No. I just know my own language, but I've heard some words in other people's languages. The only reason I can talk like this through this person is because I'm using that device. Oh. I don't normally wear it. So the device includes something like a universal translator. I'm not sure if it's universal, but everybody I've ever talked to when I have that thing on, they've been able to understand me. And it's not just that it gives you the words of the other language, because it doesn't give me all the words, it gives me some of the words when I need them, but it also gives me. My teacher said it's created to give you the means to communicate to other beings, even if some of their communication isn't with words. Like in your culture, some people in your culture use their hands and arms to express, or things like, scratch his head and then puts head on one hand. I've seen those kinds of things. We don't do that, but when I'm communicating in this way, through this person, then those kinds of things are available. For your fun. Can I show you some things other cultures do? There is a culture that I went to see with mom once, and they did something which your people would probably consider strange, but they considered it typical. I'll try to do it. I can't quite get it, but it's something like this, puts hands behind head, and fourth finger in each of the ears, but not plugging the ears. It seems to have something to do with acknowledging the value of what's being said to each other. Chuckles, it was kind of fun to watch the adults do that, because they don't do it where we come from. What civilization was that? It was somewhere in the outer reaches of the Andromeda Galaxy. Want to know why they say galaxy? Why? Because it is. See, your term galaxy. Dot you call universe. That's right. We call it a universe because there's something that everyone in that universe can identify with. In a galaxy. The Andromeda Galaxy. Which we would call the constellation. Yes. There's something in that galaxy that everyone in it can identify with, sometimes more than one, but at least one. Whereas what you call the universe, it's not always like that. It's so big and diverse, yes. There isn't something that everyone can identify with, or maybe there is. But that's my understanding of it at this point in my life. Next headline. Azita, or Earth Hybrid Culture. There was another gesture that I thought was kind of funny. I'm going to have to put the head up, but I'm showing it to you. It's like this, puts head up and moves the right hand vertically downward in the middle of the back of the head. That has something to do with some kind of honoring. That was not in my galaxy, it was, I think. Let me try and put it into your identification. I think you can see it. It begins with, what is that? Pause, I know our word for it, it's like fixed un, phonetically, for us. Let's see. I think it's a place that has rings around the planet. Saturn? No, not in our star system. Yes, it's not in your star system, but it has rings. That's not that unusual. It's beautiful, but it's not that unusual. It's... oh, it's in the Zeta Reticuli system. And the people don't look like the Zeta Reticulans who come to your planet. Well, the panel is telling me that they've come to your planet, but they haven't talked to too many people, and they'll come more in the future. They're very artistic, they've gathered cultural things that attract them from other cultures, and they pick this up in their travels. Chuckles. Are they humanoid? What do they look like? They look more like you. They are a cross between Zeta beings and Earth people and something else. Oh, they're hybrids, they're some of the hybrids. They are a lot of fun to be around, but sometimes they can. You'll probably like this on Earth. Sometimes they can get excited about things, you know? Excitable. But no more than people on Earth. But they're really very. They have strong feelings, and they're very. Mom says they're stylish. They're stylish. Laughs, do Andromedans get excited with their feelings? I've not seen it, but that doesn't mean that they don't. But I haven't seen anybody get excited to the point that they're jumping up and down for attention. Next headline. Visiting the Zeta Reticulans. How many trips have you gone on? I've gone on 4 or 5. I think that they let me go because I am in training to do what Mum does, so they. Maybe. Well, that's kind of a challenge. Is that an IQ test? Laughs, I made a joke. You did make a joke. Laughs, you've made 4 trips to Earth. Oh, I have made 5 trips with Mom, but only 1 to Earth. Do you eat food? Yes. What you can most easily identify with is something like fruit and something like vegetables, and sometimes we eat it in a more liquefied form, where it's all kind of mixed together. But all of the flavors are compatible. We're very focused, as a culture, on complementary things together. You can see with our cities how we like that, and it's the same thing with our foods. Even if you wouldn't normally think about putting those things together on the same plate on Earth. If they taste good together, then they might make a nice sort of liquid, like a shake. Very good. What other cultures have you seen in those other trips, when we went to the Zeta Reticuli place? Oh, that's really different. Their cultures are so different than ours, but there are some things in common. One, they're real curious, and our whole culture is like that. Where I live, my town, people are curious. And their Zeta cultures I met, the real Zeta people, were real curious. They wanted to know. They didn't always do anything with what you told them, but, chuckles. Have you ever talked to anyone for a while about something that you're interested in, even, questions, and they just stand there kind of blinking? Laughs, that's not unusual for them, though you can't always see them blink. But when they're in an environment that's safe for them, then you can see them blink. Sometimes I think they've been described on your planet as having these big, black eyes. But that's not what is. That's like an eyelid, kind of like. You have some beings on your planet who have more than one eyelid, I think. Some animals, yes. Like a cat. A cat has something like that, an inner and an outer eyelid. That's what you're seeing with the Zeta people, you're seeing a form of an eyelid. So, it's kind of like, boy, I've wanted to use this word, it's like shades without the glasses. So I managed to work that in. You worked that in. Laughs, then, when you are on their home planet, when you look at them, Those eyelids are up and then you see their true eyes. You see their actual eyes, which aren't that different than human eyes, they're just big, and they get your attention. But the fun part that most humans haven't seen, that I think has kind of made for some confusions and misunderstandings, is that when you can see their eyes, you can see all the things you see with people's eyes. I mean, the twinkle and the humor and the interest and the curiosity. You miss all that when someone's wearing shades, she says this with distinct pleasure. Laughs, got it in again. Okay. That's wonderful. And in your understanding, why did your people go to that particular planet of the Zitters? They were working on a project with another place. Their Zitters are very cooperative. If you're working on some project where you don't have enough people to do that with some other culture or some other place, or you don't have the technology, or something is missing. If they have it, the people, the technology, anything, they will immediately volunteer. They're like in your culture, where someone says, I need a volunteer, their hand is the first one up. They're known for this. That's why, when we needed someone to assist us with a culture not that far away from their own in terms of distance, so we thought maybe they might have visited the before, which they had, then we asked them for some of their people to go on our ship to these places and discuss this project, which had something to do with travel. Anyway, I was lucky that time, because one of the Zeta people brought along a child. That was a lot of fun for me. After they saw that you were along? I don't know if the child would have been brought along whether I was along or not. It could have been after they saw me, because they like children a lot. So did you get to spend some time with the Zeta child, then? Lots of time. We didn't have that much to do, so we spent a lot of time together. That's how I learned about that eyelid, because my friend would close his eyelid. I'm going to say his, but they're not exactly always his and her, so that I could not only see the shades, but I could also see. They have, like, another eyelid. It comes down, and then it's like completely closed. Next headline. Zeta and Andromedan sleep cycles. They use that to rest and do something like a meditation. My friend would do that every day, or what we called a day, which would be a little different than your days, no matter what. You could, as you say, set your watch by it. He would have to say, okay, this is my time now, and then I would leave him alone and he would do his rest, meditation, which is not completely different from your sleep, but it is what I would call a real safe sleep, where you never have an experience that is upsetting or frightening or confusing. And to you it might feel like a light sleep, not deep. But we don't need to refresh our bodies, said my friend when he talked to me. I give you his exact words, we don't need to refresh our bodies the way you do. If we sleep, my people, we sleep, but they don't need to do that. So they don't say, good night. They just take this rest, meditation. Do they take several of these during the day, or just one? My friend did that only once, for what would relate to about an hour and three quarters. But I think it's possible. I don't know, maybe the adults do it more than once a day. I don't know, though, we didn't talk about that. Well, that gives you a lot more experiential time, doesn't it? It gives you more time to do things. And if you don't have to refresh your body, then the purpose of sleep, I'm going to call it sleep, even though my friend said it isn't exactly that, is to just do what you do in sleep that isn't refreshing your body. To me, it would be dreams, but my friend says that for him, it's more like visions. He says it's not the same, but it's similar. How long does it take your planet to go around your sun? What sort of days do you have? Well, days for us are more like. I'm not sure if I can describe that, but I'd say, in your terms, maybe around 32 hours. But we don't necessarily calculate a day by daylight and night light. How do you? It's more like a time segment. I'm not clear on that. But you do sleep for a few hours? We sleep. I do. I always sleep every day, usually twice, and for usually 3 or 4 hours. Usually 4 hours. And then my body rests and regenerates, and I dream. Nice dreams, all nice dreams. My friend, the Zeta person, he has visions, and he says that's also one of the ways the Zetas communicate person to person with their culture. It's not like a kind of communication we're doing now, it's more, he said, like a communion. They sort of create a heart-to-heart connection that way, and that keeps all of their feelings in balance so that you don't get too extreme. Chuckles, but you know, when I'm describing my Zeta friend, I'm not talking about the beings I talked about before, what you call the hybrids. I'm talking about the Zetas you have seen on your planet. I was talking about the people, the Zetas, who came on board, and one brought a child. Yes, these are the kinds of Zetas we know. That's right. Next headline. Common threads, my extended family. How many brothers and sisters do you have? Are they older or younger? You have clear male and female, right? Yes. But remember, our families are kind of extended, so for the sake of clarity, I'd say my mother has given birth to more than these people, but of the closest of the children I have around me, there's three of us. But then there are others who are almost as close, and that makes a total of seven. And then there are more, a total of nine, who are almost as close. That's how it works with our civilization. My mother didn't give birth to all these children, but it's like, you're real close with some, then you're almost as close with the next group, then it goes out, like that. Everything builds out from the center. How wonderful, to have that many people to be close with. Yes, so even people you aren't that close to, you're still pretty close. My teachers tell me that's why we don't have any misunderstandings, because we all have a lot of common threads in our big family. Each city is kind of like a big family in some ways. And you can go to any adult there and ask a question and feel accepted. Not just accepted, but loved and appreciated. And when we talk to the adults respectfully, we love and appreciate them too, so they don't feel like we're being too much of a pest. Hey, I've heard that as a joke. I don't think they mean it, but I've heard adults talk to each other and talk about kids being pests. But my mom told me that the only time they ever say that is when there are kids who can hear, and they're saying it to give us a little joking. She said that she has never heard any adult say that when they're alone. She thinks they're just saying it to have some fun with us. That's wonderful. Of the other two closest of the three children, have either chosen a path, or a career yet? One of them has. She is going to be in government, where they don't actually run things like an authority, but they keep things going smoothly, so everybody has what they need, you know, like that. She's going to go into that. And then my brother, he's younger. He hasn't decided yet. You are a girl? I am a girl. I thought so, but I wanted to make sure. Laughs. That's great. What a wonderful place to live. Next headline. A special tea ceremony with a spiritual Earth lady. How many other humans did you see here on Earth besides the professor? I saw another one. She was, by Earth standards, an old lady, and that was completely different than the professor. I could tell that it was a new experience for the professor by the way he acted, but the older lady, it wasn't new for her at all. It felt just like any of our people who would step on board. She was an Earth person. She had pretty long white hair down to her shoulders, maybe a little past. She had lines in her face like you get, and she was friendly and bright. And I remember, she stepped on board. She didn't know anybody on board, but she seemed to know and understand our culture. And my feeling is that she had had meetings with people from other cultures, other planets, too. She was more of a universal citizen. Everybody on the ship was happy to see her. I think they paid a call on her. It was like going to see someone for fun. I don't think it was like any work thing. The reason I think so is, they let me sit in for the whole thing, and all that was being talked about was this person, that person, fun. So good to know you. Where have you been? What have you been doing? Like that. Not, would you like to know this? Would you like to know that? None of that. So I think she's been doing this kind of thing for a long time. She knew a lot, too. She could look at the ship and say, "Oh, that's for that, isn't it?" Because she was this sort of honored person, there wouldn't, you know, usually are other crew members, the adults, they don't say what things are for. They might say, "What makes you think that?" Answer a question with a question. Not with her. They would just say, "Oh yes, that's what that's for." No secrets. That was a lot of fun, and she was on board for maybe 4 hours, in terms of your time, or maybe a little more. That was nice. We didn't go anywhere, probably she's flown around before. We just landed, and she knew how to find the ship on her own, I think maybe using feelings, because I could see her from the inside of the ship walking toward us. But we weren't visible, okay? But I remember her walking along and going like this, puts right hand out as if she is sensing. She was moving her hand back and forth, left and right, and so on. Then she'd walk along the line of what she was feeling. And when she got right up to the opening for the ship, she just stopped. Chuckles. I think she knew she was there, and then she was welcomed in. It's not like a door. A door didn't open. It's kind of like you step through the ship itself. Anyway, she was inside, and we had something we don't usually do with Earth people, so my mom says, and that's that we shared something to drink. For you, it would be like drinking tea. For us, it's like a special occasion drink. So we shared this drink that's kind of like tea, made from roots and berries, some from Earth and some from where we live. She could drink that and be comfortable, and we could drink it and be comfortable. That's why I know she was exceptional, because I've never seen or heard of that happening. My mother told me it was a very special occasion when this was going to happen, and that I would see something and participate in something I'd never heard of before, that was this tea. Like a tea ceremony. Everyone was very careful to serve the tea in a very particular way. My mother told me it was a special ceremony done in a special way, and there were people on Earth who still did things like that, though not maybe with this particular type of tea. Can you say what part of the world it was? It was in Japan, and in a part of Japan that's not a city. She was very old. I'm not sure if she's still alive, but if she is, she's probably teaching. I think she was a teacher. I've been around some teachers, being a child. And she was a lot like that. When she talked to me, I could tell that he was prepared to instruct me, to inform me. You know, when you talk to teachers, how they talk to you differently than other people do. Yes. That's exactly the way she talked. So that was kind of fun. Oh, that's great. Something new for me. Something to share with your friends back home. That's right. I talked to them, and I also talked to the adults on the ship, then. No one had ever done that before. They all felt privileged and honored to have had the experience, because our adults had to get permission from our culture to do that. Oh, really? Yes, because they were taking in food from another culture, another world entirely, and one in which there isn't the same level of spiritual. It was a different dimension, combining the dimensions. And for people like us, who experience everything from the center out, it was a major change, what my mother called a departure, in your language, from our usual thing. But the reason it was allowed, I believe, is because this lady was so special and spiritual. Did she bring some of the stuff and you had some of the stuff? Or did you already have the stuff on the ship? She brought some and we brought some, but she mixed it. Oh, I see. So she knows something about this kind of tea and the ceremony that goes with it. She mixed it and she made the tea with our people who make the food so that it would be safe for us and for her, because our contribution to the tea had to be safe for her, too. And then she poured it, and it was all served in a special way. Afterward, I felt excited, happy and calm, all at the same time. Laughs, that's amazing. How many years ago was that, in our time? Well, you were only here once, so. That was around the same time, it was on the same voyage. It wasn't the same time in your calendar, but it was the same voyage that we took to see the professor. But the time with the lady on your calendar would have been around 94, maybe 95. And then with the professor, it was about 73 or something. Something like that. But it was the same voyage. Next headline. The navigator and others on the ship. So how many adults were on the ship? You had a pilot and two scientists and... At that time, there were about seven. Including your mother, including mom and the two scientists and the rest of the people. Some of the people did more than one thing. One of the scientists was also a doctor, and another of the scientists also did special songs and ceremonies. Then there was the pilot, and also someone who does any maintenance that might be needed for the ship itself, who is also like a navigator. But the navigator is not like on your planet, where on a boat, maybe, the navigator says, here we are, and here's where we need to go. Not like that. It is the navigator's job to make certain that the route we take is the exact route that brings us into contact with the exact people we need to meet in that exact time, and all of that kind of stuff. It's the navigator's job to work with the mechanism that the ship uses to travel in time, so some of it is route, but most of it is timing. Timing is a little different when you're traveling in time, but it's really similar to watch time, in that you have to focus. Be very meticulous. That's right, you have to be meticulous, and you also have to find your way to different times using all the feelings of all of the people in the place you're in. That's how you mark different times. The navigator told me that you can't go to a place based on their calendar, because your calendar and their calendar are never the same. You can go to a place only if you know something about their history. At least our machine works this way. You have to know what the people were feeling or experiencing then. Good thing, though, our culture is not using this knowledge based only on our own travels, but on all of the people, all of the other cultures who travel, some of them using other kinds of ships. So they all put their knowledge together, like in a common database. That's right, and then we know. Sometimes I ask the navigator, where did you get that information? And the navigator says, oh, from our people, or maybe he makes a joke like, not like, that's for me to know, and you to find out, but something like that. Next headline, channeling and the communication device laughs, where did you get that? You don't have that at home. Did you get that out of Robert's mind, what? No, I can remember. The communication thing doesn't pull it out of the channel's mind. It pulls it out of the culture of the time. But the channel's body is comfortable saying only certain things. There are other things that I know that other cultures say, but the channel would feel uncomfortable saying those things. Maybe the words are not polite to say in your culture and the channel would not feel polite saying them. So I've been told by my mom that whatever the device is guiding me to say and do, I have to do that. Knee deviations. Laughs. Not this way or that way, only what it says. She says that's part of my lesson to learn. In communication you have to honor, all the time, not just some of the time, the people and their ways of being. What a lesson. How did this contact take place? Did somebody come and ask you to do this? How did it start? Which contact is that? You talking through Robert. Through Robert. You talking to me now. How did that come about? Oh, yes. Well, that happened because when Robert was going to channel, he asked to talk to hear from, anybody who was on the ship. Normally, that's not the way it works, but this time that's what he said. Normally, he lets Zosh or someone say it for him, but he said it, and then other beings started saying and doing what they normally do. But this time it was different. And I think that's why I was able to come through, because what he said might have been a little more. Anybody on the ship? I see. Laughs. Thank goodness he said it that way. Whereas Zosh might have said this or that. One of the adults saw something, yes. All right. So you communicate through your device, then? It doesn't have only what your culture does, it has everything that's put in the by all the traveling ships. Like the one you were on? So you have access to our culture through that device? That's right. Of course, being a child, I don't have total access to everything. Parental controls. Laughs. That's right. Some things are not right for me yet. But it knows. The machine, but it's not a machine.